We're going to turn this morning to the book of Daniel, Daniel chapter 3. And a sort of strange sermon this morning. It's on three small words. Three small words in English, eight letters, and three words. But in order to get to them, I have to give you a rather lengthy reading. But the reading is interesting, so I trust you'll bear with us as we go down through Daniel chapter 3. Daniel 3 and verse 1. Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold, whose height was 60 cubits, and the breadth thereof 6 cubits. He set it up in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king sent together the princes, the governors, the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces to come to the dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Then the princes, the governors, the captains and judges, treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces were gathered together unto the dedication of the image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. And they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Then an herald cried aloud, "To you it is commanded, O people, nations, and languages, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king hath set up. And whoso faileth or falleth not down and worshipeth shall the same hour be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace." Therefore, at that time, when all the people heard the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, sackbut, psalter, and all kinds of music, and all the people, nations, and languages fell down and worshipped the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Wherefore, at that time, the certain Chaldeans came near and accused the Jews. They spake and said to the king Nebuchadnezzar, "O king, live forever. Thou king hast made a decree, and every man that shall hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, shall fall down and worship the golden image. And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth, that he should be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. There are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou settest up." Then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, "Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, do not ye serve my gods or worship my image, the image which I have set up? Now, if ye be ready, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have set up, well. But if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands?" Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God, whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O King. But if not, be it known unto thee, O King, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar, full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace 7 times more than it was wont to be heated. And he commanded, and the most mighty men that were in the army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats, their hosen, and their hats, and their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent, and the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astounded and rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said, true, O king. He answered and said, lo, I see 4 men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come forth and come hither. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth of the midst of the fire, and the princes, governors, and the captains, and the king's counselors, being gathered together, saw these men upon whose bodies the fire had no power, and was no hair, nor was an hair of their head singed, neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of fire had passed on them. Then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who hath sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him, and have changed the king's word and yielded their bodies, that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Therefore I make a decree that every people, nation, and language which speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made a dunghill, because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. May the Lord bless to our hearts this rather lengthy reading of his word and bless it to us. Let's bow in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we thank thee today for the inspired records of the word of God. O God, sometimes it is inspired doctrine, sometimes inspired record. And Lord, we pray that thou would help us to master both and be able to understand the things that God has said in his word. We ask, O Lord, now as we turn to this portion of the word, that thou would prepare every heart to receive it. Grant, O God, that thou would bless every individual one. And Lord, especially for those who are going through tough times, O God, we pray that they may be encouraged by the word of the living God today. Our Father, we pray thou would speak by thy power, that thou would give liberty Grant, O God, thou would defeat the devil who will try to steal away the good seed of thy word. Defeat him, we pray, and give us a happy time around thy word today. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. As I mentioned, I want to speak to you today about three small words. And one of them is a preposition, one is a conjunction, and one, I think, is an adverb. I'm not quite sure, but I think it is. And the three words, I don't know whether you picked them out as we're going through the thing, but it's verse number 18 where it says, but if not. Those are the three words, but if not. Now, when we come to Florida, we normally come down in the month of November for vacation. And when we come, we go along to Starkey Road Baptist Church, which is in Pinellas or at Madeira Beach where we stay. And the pastor there, Jerry Lancaster, is a very good preacher and a great communicator of the Word of God, that we always go and enjoy being fed by the Word. A couple of Sundays ago, well, it's now 4 or 5 Sundays ago, we were there and he was there, but he wasn't speaking. We looked at the bulletin and it was somebody else was speaking. And my wife and I were both disappointed because we greatly enjoy Pastor Lancaster's ministry. And it told us that the speaker was a younger man, an assistant pastor called Derek Parker, a young man of about 40 years of age. And he announced these three words. And I thought to myself, as a preacher of nearly 50 years, what is he going to do with those three words? Because you take the like of John 3:16. John 3:16 is crammed full of doctrine and blessing. You could preach a year on John 3:16. You could deal with God himself. And then the love of God and the gift of God and the grace of God and the deliverance from eternal punishments. There's so much in John 3:16, but just think, but if not, what are you going to do with that? Well, I have to say that my wife and I, our disappointment turned to delight very quickly, because there was a message there. And there was a real blessing to our own souls. Now, there's a lesson for us there, and that is that sometimes we find ourselves looking at a particular preacher and thinking, well, I want to hear him because he's got a message. But my friend, God can use anybody. And sometimes we can lose out because we're expecting one thing and the Lord is sending something else, and he's sending somebody else to bring his word. And so we were greatly blessed. And remember what the Bible says, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. God works all things according to the counsel of his will. So this morning, I want to look at this mess. I didn't take any notes from him. I wish I had. But looked at him and got home and was greatly blessed. I want to share it with you. So this is a real Floridian message from Madeira Beach. It's not one of my own messages, but this was a tremendous blessing to me. The first thing I want to show you is the content, and that is that Judah, as a province, a nation, was captive in Babylon, including Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And they were assimilated into Babylonian society at the time of the captivity. You remember how in chapter 1, the four of them stood for the Lord, and Nebuchadnezzar, he wanted some of the best young men of Judah, these captives, to be trained in the Babylonian ways and to be used. These were immigrants, if you like. These were refugees, if you like, coming in, and Nebuchadnezzar wanted to train them. So he brought them into school and was giving them a special training there. Now he also provided for them, because of all the many from Judah, these and a few others, they were in, and they were going to get food straight from the king. So what's king's food they're going to have? And then they're going to also have the king's drink, and he supplied that for them. But you remember the story how the four young men, they said, no, we're not going to take that. They gave us pulse trials, and the trial was wrought, and they come out. And Nebuchadnezzar, at the end of the trial period, he interviewed them and discovered that these men, Daniel, Meshach, Shadrach, and also Abednego, these men, they were, it says, 10 times better. And they were on pulse, which is sort of lentil soup. And they were better. Now, some people, of course, would argue that's a good argument for being a vegan. Well, I have to say I do enjoy my steaks at times as well as everybody else. But they were given jobs, and they're given positions of great authority. And the Lord blessed them, we're told, with knowledge, with skill, and with learning, and with wisdom. And Nebuchadnezzar found them 10 times better than all the wise men and advisors that he had in Babylon. So they quickly were established and were set in status and given leadership. Life was very good for Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But then comes the crisis, and the king erected an image. Now, I had a dream in the previous chapter that Daniel was able to interpret him. You remember the famous one, the head of gold and the shoulders of silver and brass and so on, and iron. And he saw this dream. Maybe that inspired him with the idea of having this image himself. So he built the image, and we're told there it was 100 feet by 10 feet. It probably was a great big dais at the bottom, and then the thing up on top. And the people were told to come along and to bow down and to worship. And you notice all the different instruments that were mentioned over and over again. The cornet, the flute, the harp, sackbut, psaltery, and all kinds of music. And the idea is that each one of these played, first of all, solo. And then they all joined together in symphony, because that's the words there. They played in symphony, and when they did that, everybody had to bow down, and they had to worship the image. Now, why did Nebuchadnezzar do that? He was just king for a short while, and I would think that it was probably, first of all, a religious ploy, but also a political ploy to unite the nation. And also to highlight anybody who likely was to be a troublemaker and get rid of them. And so he has this great image. And a question comes, where was Daniel in this? Because you always get Daniel and the three of them together. But in this case, it's just the three Hebrew children, but not Daniel. Well, Daniel had a very high position in Babylon. And at that time, he was probably another part of the country looking after the affairs there. And so his absence could be explained like that. Now, these men discovered that they had to bow down because there were some jealous characters, Babylonians, who did not like these Hebrew children and the positions that they were given. And so they wanted to bring them down. And so they came to Nebuchadnezzar, they ratted on them, and they wanted the king to deal with these men and put them into the burning fiery furnace. Now, these three men no doubt thought much about this, because you can read it very quickly. But you think about it, and they're thinking, men, we've got a bit of a problem here. This image, are we going to bow down to it? Or are we going to go, that's not a good idea, go into the furnace. So they would begin to think of reasons maybe why they would not go to the furnace. They could say, well, look, men, we are in a big country. Babylon is the biggest nation in the world at the time. And one of the greatest nations the world has ever known. And it says, they maybe thought, well, it's useless for us to resist. There's only three of us against that great nation. What's the point of us resisting? And then they may have thought, well, we're in a strange land. This is not our land. This is another land. And In later times, the saying, when in Rome do as the Romans do, so when in Babylon do as the Babylonians do, why don't we just do it and get it over with and it'll be all right? Then they could have said also, well, we have been given good positions. We have been elevated from where we were as slaves, really, and we're elevated to the position. We could lose our jobs if we do that. If we don't bow down to this image, we could lose the jobs. And then they could argue, but brethren, don't forget that they didn't ask us to renounce our faith. All they asked us to do is to bow down to this image, and that's it. So, well, why worry about it? We weren't asked to renounce our faith. And then they could have argued, but man, it's just a one-time deal. All we have to do is to bow down once, and that's a clear finish. Nebuchadnezzar said that. He gave us a second chance. He said, but they argued among themselves, no doubt, and thought, but think of that line in the hymn, yield not to temptation. And these men, they came to the crisis point. Either they submit and bow to the image, or they face death in the burning fiery furnace. The burning furnace was probably a brick kiln, because Babylon was famous for its bricks. It was built of bricks. And I had a dear friend in my younger days, a believer. He served in the British Army in the Second World War, and he was in the Middle East, and he's able to go to Babylon, and he brought back from there a brick. And it's just not an ordinary brick like ours, but all kinds of cuneiform writing on them and so on. And he brought it back, and I wish I had it today, but Jimmy's gone to the Lord, and I don't know where the brick went to. They had those brick kilns to heat up and to bake the bricks. That's probably what the burning fiery furnace was all about. These men could have said, Lord, why me? We have suffered enough, Lord. We have suffered enough in Jerusalem. We have suffered enough in being taken captive into Babylon, both into an alien nation and culture. Lord, why us? And Lord, we've tried to faithfully serve you. Like one of our ministers, John Douglas, I'm not sure whether you've ever had John here, but one of our senior men, a very godly man, going to do a gospel mission in one of the churches, one of our churches about 60 miles from his home. And he had another man drive him there in John's car. And they're going to the mission to preach the gospel. And all of a sudden, a man comes out of the hedge, right in front of the car. They hit it, and he was killed. You say, Lord, why? We're trying to do your work, Lord. We're trying to go forward. And why should this happen? And friend, in life, very often we come to the quiet place where we say, Lord, why? Why should this ever happen to us? And sometimes we as believers, we face a decision. And that decision may involve us going into a furnace of fire. It may be a health matter. It may be a family matter. It may be a business matter. It may be a financial matter. But sometimes we face the burning fiery furnace. That brings us the challenge. These men, they were committed followers of Jehovah. We've discovered that already in the book. They had been through many, many tough times as Jerusalem went through the time when it was sacked by the Babylonians. They were carried captive, a culture shock, going into the Babylonian school and having to learn the ways of the Babylonians. That wouldn't be much fun. And now the most serious challenge of all, they were betrayed and they were accused of insubordination to the king through the jealousy of these other men. And they were facing this open furnace and the fact that they'd have to go into it. And they knew that at the bottom line, they had to submit or die. And they would realize the king offered them another chance. He did. If you hear the music and you bow down, well. But if not, there. And so they were faced with this, either submit or die. But they said in verse number 16, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. Now what does that mean? That means it is not necessary for us to answer you on that particular matter it is before us, because our position is fixed and clear. We will not bow down to the image. We will not bow down to your gods. And we choose rather the burning furnace and the Lord our God. He can deliver us. And then these three words, but if not. If not, we are willing to go in to the burning, fiery furnace. How would we do when faced with a burning, fiery furnace of affliction? The Bible tells us there in Peter, tells us there in 1 Peter 4 and 12 about the fact that we will go through affliction. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. You see, people reason sometimes, I've become a Christian, I've got right with God, and so therefore everything should be good. But everything is not good. And I think of a statement made by J.C. Ryle, the great Protestant Bishop of Liverpool. Just saw it recently. He said, health is good, but sickness is better if it leads us to the Lord. And sometimes the Lord has to put us through the burning fiery furnace, either through persecution, serious illness, family or business problems. And we're not to question God, but rather to realize that the Lord of heaven and earth, the judge, he always does right. And so there are times where we have to make a decision. The furnace. The Lord can deliver us. But if not, we still go into the furnace. And sometimes in life, we're faced with the furnace. And we don't want to go in it. They didn't want to go in it. But the time comes and we have to say, Lord, thy will be done. And sometimes we have to go in to great suffering. But notice what happened. They were cast in. And to prove that the furnace is real, the men who threw them in, they were burned to death. In they go. And Nebuchadnezzar, he looks in. Did not we put three men in? I see four. And it's the fourth one, like unto the Son of God. Now the interesting thing was that they bound them. They bound them, we're told, in their clothes. Now, this indicates that it was a rush job. Because normally, convicts and so on, they were stripped. But these men were bound in their own garments, and they were bound and cast in. And Nebuchadnezzar says, he looks in, and he sees these men loose. So something happened in the furnace. It first of all loosed them from their bondage and the bounds. And also took the heat out of the flames, because that they were not touched, not even their hair singed by the burning of the flames. And that fourth man, Nebuchadnezzar, was right, because it was the Son of Man. It was what we call a Christophany. It is the appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ in bodily form before he came to Bethlehem, because the Lord lived from all eternity. And there are several occasions where the Lord appears like this, and he appeared in the burning fiery furnace and took the heat out of the flames. The interesting thing is that he was only seen in the flames. No doubt he had been with Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego in earlier times and had helped them and so on, but they'd never seen him. But in the burning furnace, they saw him with their eyes. And my friends, sometimes it takes us to pass through the burning furnace of tribulation or trouble or sickness of some sort, and we go through that, and it's there that we see the Lord. You see, anybody can shout hallelujah when things are going well. Anybody can do that. But the person who can say hallelujah when things are not going well, and where every mortal prop of life is kicked away, and when people would come along and try to encourage them, and it means really nothing, the words don't get to it. They're there. That's the time you realize that underneath are the everlasting arms of the Lord. We're left in a position where we can't trust anybody else. These men couldn't trust Daniel. They couldn't trust any more of the Judean people who were brought in captivity. Couldn't trust them. They're in this by themselves with the Lord, but the Lord was there with them. And what a blessing it is to prove the Lord in those times and in those occasions. But sometimes it takes affliction for us to really see the Lord. Thomas Watson, the great theologian of a bygone age, he said, when God lays men on their back, then they can look up to heaven. And I remember in my previous church in Northern Ireland that there's a family came there, a wife and two grown daughters, about 20 years each, the girls. And they came to church every Sunday, wouldn't miss a Sunday, but the husband, he would never come. The father would never come. And they were there Sunday after Sunday, in a space beside them for the husband, but he was never there. But then one day, the Lord put him flat on his back with a sickness. And I went into the hospital to see him, and that man was just ripe and ready. The Lord had led him, and he came to know the Lord in the hospital. But humanly speaking, if he hadn't been sick, never happened. And he came out of the hospital, lived for several years after that, and was in church every Sunday with his wife and with his two daughters. Sometimes the Lord has to put us flat on our back to cause us to look up into heaven. Because the bottom line is that faith is the victory. And in the case here, Nebuchadnezzar, he saw what happened, and then he came along and he told the people, nobody say anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego. And again, he blessed them, and he gave them again more the positions of authority. They were blessed. Looking forward to getting to heaven, because I think Nebuchadnezzar is going to be there. You look at him, you read the story of how the Lord brought him down to eating grass and so on. And it seems at that time that Nebuchadnezzar came to a commitment to the God of heaven, and I think he's going to be there in heaven. I'm looking forward to that. I want to ask him a few questions. about this scripture and about what he did. But my friend, the bottom line is, in the tribulations and trials, are you ready for the burning fiery furnace? And can you say, but if not, if God does not deliver me and I have to go through it, I'm willing to go through it? You realize that in the furnace, the Lord is always there. He will never leave his people, and he'll be there to bless you, to strengthen you, and to bring you safely through. What a tremendous thought. But if not, Lord, if we have to, we go. But the Lord, he will be with us each step of the day. What a wonderful thing. I trust that each one of you know the Lord already, and if you do, that's good. And be ready for the trial, because the trials will come. They come to every believer. The Hebrews tells us that every son that God has or daughter, that they will pass through chastening. And so it does come, but how good it is to know that he's always with us each step of the way. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Let's bow together. Father in heaven, we thank thee for the encouragement of this scripture, realizing what faced those thy servants in that bygone day, and yet, Lord, how thou didst meet with them and bring them safely through. And Father, we pray that thou would help us, no matter what is thrown against us, that we may stand for thee and realize that thou wilt deliver us, because in this case, these men went into the burning fiery furnace, and at the same time they were delivered from the fiery furnace. And Lord, we know that we go into troubles, thou wilt deliver us and bring us safely through. Bless thy people, Lord, especially those who have heavy hearts, those who already know about the burning furnace of affliction. We pray that thou would comfort them and bless them. Put thy loving arms round about them, and may they go home today rejoicing that Jesus said, I will never, 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 never leave thee nor forsake thee. Hear this our prayer and bless us throughout this day, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.